You're tuned into the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into scorenotes.com Composer Interviews. We're very happy to have back with us today composer Carlo Ciliato. Carlo, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. And can you tell us about the music you wrote for your recent film, Under the Same Moon?
Yes. First of all, I want to tell you that this is a wonderful movie, and the story is basically a love story between mother and son. So the mother is living in Los Angeles and working as an housekeeper, while her son is living with his grandmother in Mexico. But unfortunately, the grandmother passes away, and he finds a couple of coyotes who bring him in across the border, and so from this moment the movie becomes a sort of road movie. But this movie and this primary story is a pretext to tell about the lives of Mexicans in Southern California. So it assumes certain social values, let's say, and there is this beautiful poetic thing of the connection of through the moon, because there is a beautiful line of the mother who says, when you feel alone, you just watch at the moon, look at the moon, and I'll be looking at the same moon. And this is the music is basically, as I told you, these three elements. So the magic of the connection between a mother and a son with the presence of the moon. The second theme we could call of the journey. And the third, which is the pain in general, the pain in general and the sufferance in general, which is a private sufferance or so as a social sufferance in this movie. So these three themes are connected one to another, and they appear one by one or all together mixed. And so this is about the general concept of the soundtrack.
There seems to be a lot of emotional context in which to write music for. Was that a big benefit in helping you realize the themes of the movie musically?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Is emotional, and this soundtrack is the general sound of the movie has been done even by putting many Mexican songs, so which allowed me to get focused on the feelings and on the sentiments of the characters without taking care of some environment issues, you know, to point the Mexican cops or something like that. No, I've been staying straight with the characters and overall with the character of Carlito, the main character of the movie, by keeping his point of view.
Now, what was it like working with director Patricia Riggan?
You know, there is a last scene of the movie, the last scene of the movie, which I want the audience to see, so I don't tell anything, I will not describe it, but it gave me actually the exact balance of the elements in this movie. And this is the Patricia's touch. She has a great sensibility and sense for the balance of the elements. This is the difference you have in general between opera-like and operatic, or sentimental or sentimentalism, you know? She is very aware how to do it and how to manage all these sentiments in a certain way, and it's been easy and terrible at the same time, because we met first time and we had no time to do it. I mean, basically, I wrote everything in 10 days or 12 days, I don't remember, but very short time, because they hired me at the end of the process, because they went through some unlikely experience before. So they hired me, and they had no time, but thank God we met, and I watched her in her eyes, and I realized that we were on the same page. So in a couple of days, I gave her the first themes, I played the themes for her, and she was so happy. But of course, she was anxious to know what the orchestration would have been, and what the final result with an orchestra had been. And we had no time to do all this, you know, because either I was writing or I was preparing mock-ups for her, you know, so I couldn't do it both. So finally, but it has been a wonderful process, and I think is a relationship we want to keep for future projects. She already mentioned me another one. So I think has been, and you know, Patricia, she does know what the music have to do as a character in a movie, which is the most important thing a director has to know, I think, because I truly think that music is the only character you don't see in the movie, but it's there, you know? And if the director knows and agrees with you about which part this actor has to play, you are on the same page, and there is no problem while you processing your story, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you don't see the music, but music a lot of times is what ties everything together and connects the storylines in ways that some directors don't appreciate. So it's nice to have a director who does embrace, you know, what a composer brings to a motion picture like that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and it is exactly how you're saying. So because we bring something, because otherwise we would be all equal, no? So this is the reason why a director chooses one composer rather than another one, because they feel that you can bring something, you can add something to the story and to the movie. But in the same way, you hiring an actor, and this actor becomes a character, you don't say to the actor, you know, step by step, word by word, what to do. He becomes the character, and you have to film it, the character you build together. But since from the moment you decide this, he will be the character, and you film it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, movies would be very boring if everybody did the same thing.
Exactly, exactly. Which happens in some movies, actually. that people uses the same, people use the same orchestrations over and over, or you have a big success, epic movie with a certain orchestration, and you see, I mean, 30 movies with the same orchestration, with same feelings. Now, think to the success of Gladiator, and how many movies replied this music in different way. I mean, not even in different ways. They tried to recreate the same atmosphere and the same of the original one, which is impossible. You know what I mean?
It's funny, because you could take music from the era of a movie like Gladiator and apply it to a modern day movie, and it's basically the same kind of rhythm and tempo.
Exactly. See. Yeah.
And that's what I appreciated about your work for Nomad, is the way you were able to integrate the cultures and the textures of another era effectively into the score, and it became a vibrant piece of the storytelling fabric.
Thank you. This has been one of the most important opportunities I always had, because, you know, I grew up by studying classical music, by studying composition and all this, but by studying and playing folk music as well. So I love all the all the traditional instruments. I'm curious to study them, to get in touch with the soloists, to understand and to learn how to write for them and how to interact with them. So when the producers of Nomad gave me this opportunity to go to Kazakhstan to study, because I asked them, if I have to do this, I gotta go to Kazakhstan, I have to spend some time there, I have to study the local instruments. So when they said yes, we have the same vision of the soundtrack, so go by, and they provided me of everything, of local people, introducing me to soloists and to orchestras, to musicians. It has been a marvelous and wonderful experience. And but you know, this of Nomad has been very peculiar, because of course an epic movie telling about the building of Kazakhstan, and you need the local sound, you need a different color. But after learning this, you find out that this kobiz, for instance, this Kazakh violin, you might use it for a sentimental comedy he shot in New York. Because this instrument you didn't know yesterday, you know today, and it's like I don't know the flamenco guitar, for instance, no, which have been used only by flamenco players, by gypsies and stuff. Today, after the experience of the Gypsy Queens or other experiences in movie, you use those rhythms and those sounds even for an action adventure movie. You know what I mean? So once you get in touch with a new culture, unless you consider it ethnic, you know, so something only... I mean, you can use those instruments for everything and forever. So it's an enrichment. I mean, actually, in the conservatories all around the Western world, you don't study the traditional music for countries. And we are so snobbish, because we call ethnic music the Indian music, for instance, or the Chinese music, while the music of India or the music of China is their classic music. I mean, it is as if they would call Beethoven ethnic, because Beethoven uses different chords from the ones they use. You know what I mean? It is not ethnic, and the music is not related to the ethnic, of the people who play this music. It is rather related with the history and with the tradition of these people. So it's not ethnic, which is a bad word, which reminds me ethnical cleaning. It is a terrible word. I mean, music is music. It's folk music. It's not ethnic music. It's folk music because are the populations of those countries who play and who practice this music, you know what I mean, and who develop this music today. So one Chinese violin can be used to tell something in Roma, even, you know,
because
it moves some elements inside you that a normal violin, a traditional one, is not able to do. So is a richness we actually should bring to the attention of the students, in the even of the ones who study in the conservatories. In fact, the best music schools of the world, they have a section called folk music or whatever, or traditional music, or you know, because it's something very important to have besides the traditional culture of music.
Yeah, and I think as an artist, I would think many composers would want to learn more about the music of the world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, I'm just curious, on awards night during the Golden Globes, Nomad came out here in the U.S. essentially around the same time Borat was doing his thing. Did you guys ever cross paths during the Golden Globes?
No, actually not. But you know, if I had, I would have said in him something, because he's a genius artist. I mean, I think Borat, Sasha Baron Cohen, is a genius artist. But I would have asked him why to use the name of a true existing country for an imaginary one you put on screen, you know? Why not invented a name like Kukugistan? I don't know, whatever. Whatever name, Kujikistan, whatever, but not Kazakhstan, which truly exists. You know, I have so many friends now, as you can imagine, among the musicians, among producers and filmmakers and ordinary people I met in Kazakhstan. I mean, people doing normal jobs, lawyers, doctors, whatever, you know, and many of them, they felt so offended by this movie, which is a genius movie. I mean, I it's very entertaining. It's a good comedy. He's so smart, the guy. He's such a deep critic of some aspects of our Western culture and all this. But why to use the name of a truly existing country? I would have asked Sacha Baron Cohen this, and I will if I come across. I mean, you have the opportunities here in Los Angeles to meet people, you know,
sure.
Or screenings, bar, whatever. And so, if it will happen, I will ask him, why did you? Why instead of inventing? But I can tell you something. We had no support at all last year with the campaign for the Golden Globes of Nomad. I mean, barely we have been informed about the fact that we could compete to the Golden Globes. So otherwise we... the fact that Sasha Baron Cohen was so much in the first row with this Borat, actually made an highlight of Kazakhstan. So last year, whatever came from Kazakhstan had the attention of the critics, of the journalists. What the hell is this? Borat and Kazakhstan. So every single article about Borat, which was very supported, I mean, by Fox and stuff. Every single article on the newspaper had a quote of Nomad, because quoted Nomad, because at the meanwhile a true movie from Kazakhstan is coming, which is Nomad, blah blah, you know. And I think it made a difference. I mean, it helped us a lot.
Yeah, and it's out there for everyone to enjoy on DVD, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. No, it is on DVD. I bought it, actually.
Nice.
Yeah.
You had to buy it, they didn't give you a copy?
Yeah, exactly. I bought it. No. See, actually, I gotta tell you, unfortunately.
Now, I did want to ask you about the Dear Anne movie, The Gift of Hope. Are you still working on that? And if so, is that...
Oh, unfortunately, this is a project which is on hold today. But unfortunately, I wrote the old music already.
Oh, really?
Oh, because... Yeah. Because wow. I had an animatic. An animatic is basically the movie, the animation movie, but not rendered yet, you know.
Gotcha.
Also, I had all the time codes in minutes, seconds, and frames, and so I wrote the entire soundtrack, not the orchestration actually. I write myself the orchestrations, but I wrote some of them and the old sketches on the entire movie. At a certain point, after costing around €12 million, the movie was put on hold because of some, I don't know if technical problem or troubles between production and direction. I can tell you exactly. So I don't know now about the destiny. While I'm writing for another Italian movie called Il Sangue dei Vinti in Italian, which is the blood of the defeated, which is a very high budget and epic Italian movie about the end of the Civil War after World War II, and coming
Excellent, excellent. And definitely looking forward to Under the Same Moon, as well as your future project that's coming up.
Yes, I have another one coming up. I don't know exactly when. It's called The Ramen Girl. It's a sentimental comedy with Brittany Murphy. I think it will come at the beginning of the year, something, in which I actually used some Japanese instruments and Chinese and one Chinese violin, the erku, because this erku is very used in the Japanese music and the ramen, so these noodles, you know, the soup of noodles.
Uh-huh.
So because Brittany Murphy, her character wants to become a ramen chef.
Oh, okay.
In Tokyo. But the ramen originally are Chinese. So, in this case, not because philologically the noodles are Chinese and I use the Chinese violin, but because, well, I decided to have a violin as a lead instrument. I found that this erku was more appropriate than a traditional one. And thank God I had this link as well. So noodles are Chinese, so you can officially use the erku for is a wonderful comedy. It's a wonderful comedy. Brittany Murphy is just great, and Robert Alan Ackerman is the director, and he did a marvelous job. And we had a lot of fun while we were in the process of it, you know, because really she's great, and she has the entire movie on her shoulders, actually. So she's always there. It's all about her and her acting, her moving, what she has in mind, and but she did a great performance in this movie. So I can't wait to see the movie in the theaters, which will happen at the beginning of the year, I think.
Delightful. I mean, that sounds great. And again, Under the Same Moon is opening up soon, correct?
Yeah. He's opening soon. I think it's March 8th or something.
Okay.
At the same time, we will have the soundtrack album released as well. I don't know yet which label, but there is a couple of we will decide which one. Under the Same Moon, La Misma Luna will be in the theaters in March.
Excellent, excellent. Carlo, as always, it's been a delight chatting with you.
Oh, thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for giving me this space and this attention. Thank you very much indeed.